Okay, guys. If you're ready. Quiet the hearts, quiet the minds, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then Frankie will take off, and then we have a couple of administrative items, and we'll go through, and then we'll pray again and turn it loose.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you be in this room today with your Spirit, teaching how to abide in you so that our prayers will be in the heavenly realm, so that you will answer our prayers. And that's what we are here to learn today, Lord. We thank all the pastors, Pastor Steve, who's the guest speaker today. We thank him. We pray that he'll give us his anointed word that we can all learn. We pray that we will learn in the Spirit of God. We say all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
I hope you all got one of the song sheets. Tonight we're going to do it a little different. I didn't bring my guitar on purpose because I thought we'd do just a cappella. Now, these four songs are old Calvary songs, and not everyone is going to know them, but they're very easy. But I'm going to start out with Spirit of the Living God, because someone requested that, okay? And most everyone knows that, okay? Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, use me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
One more time.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
Okay, now we're just going to go into the paper here. Now the first one, I hope that it goes like this.
Clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Hands, all you people, shout unto God, voice of praise, Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, praise Him, praise Him, shout unto God with the voice of praise, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of praise, Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, praise Him, praise Him, shout unto God with the voice of praise.
And then the second one. Now these are all scriptures. That's why I picked them.
I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Thee, Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Okay.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king.
One more time.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
One more time.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
If any of you have gone to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, Chuck Smith, at the end of the message, he would sing this song. It's in Numbers, and Pastor Steve Mays taught on it Sunday night, and it's a prayer of blessing to the people. And I'm sure you hear it, but the girls need to come in on their part. They need to echo. Now, I know there are girls here that know this, but there are girls that don't. So the girls that know it, you need to not be shy. You need to sing out, okay? Let's see how this thing starts. Steve, how does it start again?
Lord, bless thee.
And the girls, Lord, bless thee. And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee.
One more time.
The Lord bless thee.
Bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto you. And be gracious unto you.
Here come the girls.
The Lord bless. The Lord lift up. His countenance.
His countenance.
Upon thee. And give thee peace.
One more time.
The Lord
bless
you.
The Lord bless you.
And keep you.
And keep you.
The Lord make His face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up.
His countenance,
His countenance
upon thee and give thee peace.
You were wonderful singers.
Okay, first up, before I get into the announcements, since one of our class members is sick and in the hospital, so Pastor John's going to offer a prayer for her. She's got asthma really bad in the lungs, so it makes it very difficult to breathe. And it's kind of scary when you can't breathe, so let's offer a prayer for her. And then I'll get into the announcements, because I think that's more important.
Let's pray for Brenda Virtue and lift up our sister before the Lord. Father, we pray for Brenda now. We pray for Brenda Bochum and for her lungs and for this terrible asthma that has gripped her for nearly 10 days now and put her in the ICU. And so, Lord, it's been a terrible bout of asthma. It's been an attack of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke Satan and we rebuke this asthma and we say be healed in the name of Jesus. And all the side effects of the steroids are gone in Jesus' name. And her blood sugar comes to normal as well. And Lord, we pray a spirit of peace and wholeness and healing over our sister Brenda. We ask that her mind and heart will be at peace, yes, that her body will be healed, yes, that her lungs will be clear, yes, and she will know the blessing and rest of the Lord tonight. We ask the blessing and rest and healing of the Lord on Sister Brenda now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, in the handouts that you got tonight, there's one on fasting. A lot of people have questions about fasting, okay? This is a very broad, general overview, but it kind of gives you an idea. If you got questions on it tonight, tonight's the night to ask, okay? So that's why it's here. Second, there's a take-home exam, okay? I also emailed it out to everybody so you can fill it out online and mail it back to Pastor John. You may have a master's degree, it doesn't matter. This is how you learn, okay? It's all about you, between you and the Lord. If you don't do these things, it's just another sermon. This is beyond just another sermon. If you want to learn it and be able to apply it, go through it. Study yourself and so yourself approved. This is what it is. So don't be afraid. We're not going to come knock on your door at midnight, but,
Pray.
I will.
The answers to your questions, the majority are in your notes, okay?
Yeah. All of them are in the notes.
Okay, all of them are.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every now and then you pull one.
Yeah.
If you don't have your notes, remember the website.
Yes.
Okay, in the bulletin, on the back page, right under the keep right sign, are a bunch of questions about divine healing. So, if you have questions, you've got questions you can ask Pastor Steve when he comes up here tonight, when he's done with his lecture. So, they were put there. So, these are the kinds of questions that you get and you encounter most often with the subject of divine healing. They're put there for your purpose so that you guys, we're priming the pump here as it goes. And I think Hannah has a nice announcement, which is an answer to prayer tonight. You got accepted somewhere to school. Tell us.
If you don't know already,
stand up.
So I'm a classical musician. I play the French horn, and I was taking some auditions for conservatories, and I got into my top choice, which is Eastman School of Music in New York.
She's going to New York, so that means put her on your prayer list. She's going to come back playing those old classics.
Eastman's part of the University of Rochester. If you just want to put it in there.
So, with that having said, come on up, Pastor Steve, and we'll have a little prayer for you, and then we'll get going. You want to? Sergio's going to ask for a little blessing on Pastor Steve as he starts his message and class and all that kind of stuff.
I don't use a mic up here, do I?
Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you just thanking you for Pastor Steve being with us tonight. Lord, we ask that you give him the wisdom, Lord, and that he would share the knowledge, Lord, that you have prepared even from the beginning of time that you're with me here. Lord, just give them the wisdom, Lord, to share with us, Lord, the knowledge that you want us to know, Lord. And Lord, that we would be better prepared, Lord, on how to pray, on how to draw closer to you. So, Father, I just ask that you would bless them, Lord, bless this class. And we thank you also for Pastor John, Lord, just being here also, Lord. Just bless this whole class, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you be in the midst of us. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, give Pastor Steve the answer to all our questions.
Hey, good to be with you tonight. Frank, do I have this thing on, or is it on? Or? Okay, I've got power on. You good to go?
Power off.
Okay.
I'll check it.
Okay.
That guy's trying to...
I think we got it.
She's bummed. I'll just check.
Good, Anna?
Yeah, okay. We're good.
All right. You know, I was sitting there kind of thinking about what we're going to talk about tonight. How many have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How many have been I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay, some of you are moving in that direction. How many have received a gift of the Holy Spirit? Not just tongues, but maybe a gift. Okay, you got... Once again, how many gifts of the Spirit? A gift of the Spirit. Okay. Some of you are thinking about that. So what I want to do tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, because I know this class has that involved, but I want to also talk about really entering in and taking hold of God and His promises. And I think that there are people here tonight that some of you are going, you know, this is the Christian walk, this is it. I'm okay with that. You know, it's kind of the status quo. But there's some of you that are here tonight, and you go, and I see your hand out. And you go, there's more, and I want it, and there's nothing wrong with the others, but you know what? The Bible talks about how that God wants to come and allow His living water to start pumping through our life into a very thirsty world. But in order to do that, what do we got to do first? I want to talk to you tonight about touching God so we can touch this world. The Bible talks out. I'm not going to give you a scripture. We can start out with Luke 2 because I'm going to go back there. But I'm going to share some scripture with you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to do a 4-point or a 5-point message really here tonight. And then I'm going to kind of sum it up. And then we're going to go into maybe a time of just believing God that He's going to share something with you. Some word that He wants to give to a lot of you. A lot of you are just going, man, I want to grab hold of God. And it's kind of like that picture. Remember the one where, is it done by, he's reaching up to heaven. And then God's hand is reaching down to him. And they're touching each other. You know what? Let's enter into that tonight. Let's get those walls that maybe are set up there. And get them out of the way. I was talking to a friend today. And we were sharing and we were talking. And we brought up somebody else. And as we were talking, I could just kind of feel. You ever feel like just the thumb? It starts to come. The thumb of the Holy Spirit, I should probably say that, clarify myself. It's just like all of a sudden, that maybe peace that you have, it starts to kind of dwindle away a little bit, and you just, it's not quite there, and you just go, oh man. And you keep talking. And then you go, you know what? I'm done. And then, you know, as I drove away, I got into my car, and I was going, and I text this person back. And I said, I apologize, I gossiped, I shared something that I didn't. And I confess that to the Lord as well. And you know, the brother to him is just, it is what it is. But to me, God was dealing with me in that area of my life. And those are things that we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When He begins to walk with us and touch our lives, when He begins to put a little bit of pressure there, maybe a little bit of uneasiness there, then we need to probably stop and say, hey, you know what? Do I move forward? Am I quenching the Spirit? Am I grieving the Spirit? And those are things, I want to talk to you about that tonight. But before we do anything, I want to talk to you about just really entering in. I noticed that you have a pass out on fasting. That's not one of my favorite things to do. But I'll tell you, you can look at me, I don't do it a lot. But I'll tell you something. If you'll begin to grab a hold of this, and I don't care, you know, what your diet is or anything like that, but there's a time that you can, and I can share something with you, just kind of an easy fast of entering into it. Not for days on end, for a day. I'm going to skip a few meals. I'm going to enter in and see what God has. I'll tell you, you'll begin to break into something that will blow your mind. You'll begin to start having a power. How many have ever, in prayer, began to break hold? You know, there's something there, and then all of a sudden, you're on the other side of it. It took you a while to kind of break it, but all of a sudden, you're on the other side, and you're moving in it. And you know what you're praying is right on target. You ever had that happen to you? You know what? I've discovered fasting does that. That all of a sudden, after a while, man, you're in it. And then all of a sudden, man, you are on target. You're praying stuff. You're breaking down strongholds that you're going, wow, this is amazing. There's a story told about a jet pilot who wanted to break the sound barrier. Anybody heard that story? He came out, and all the news media came out to this field, and they wanted to break through the sound barrier. And this guy came out, and of course, all the news media there, and it's back in the 40s. And they brought out this aircraft, and it was smooth, and it was slick. And of course, the pilot came out, and he was dressed in this uniform, and he got in there, and that thing took off. As a matter of fact, I think it was launched from another airplane. But as it did, a loudspeaker came on, and you could hear it from the tower. And the person started talking about going up to Mach 1 and Mach 2. And as he got ready to go into the barrier, he could hear it. And he began to describe what was taking place. And he said, you know, it's shuddering. Things are just very shuddering in this aircraft that I'm in. You know, it feels, I can feel a strong resistance. And people could hear it. And then all of a sudden, there was the most horrendous just crack, and windows were blown out and things like that, and there was just an explosion that took place. And then all of a sudden there was just a dead quiet, and everybody's just kind of looking around and going, that's the end of that guy. But all of a sudden the radio came back on and it said, I have done it. I have broken through the barrier, and it's smooth and it's glorious on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, as interesting a story as that is, but it's much like prayer. That all of a sudden, you know, we're just, I don't feel like it. You know, it's just a resistance. It's foggy. It's just dimmed to me, and I can't really get there. But I'll tell you, as you begin to tenacity, just be tenacious, hang on to it, and grab hold of the Lord, and don't let Him go until He brings you to that other side. I will tell you, it is smooth and it's glorious. You'll begin to start bringing, you know, I was reading this morning how that John the Baptist, he says he's coming and he's going to bring the valleys up. He's going to bring the mountains low. He's going to bring the things that are twisted and he's going to straighten those things out. It just seems like that kind of prayer, it does it. It just does it. It just brings things in for you. So fast tomorrow, not really. You know, it's something that that I want you to just think about and try a meal without it. Something that you regularly do. Just skip it and enter into this. And I think you're going to be amazed. I want to kind of label this today of touching God to touch the world. It says this, although the New Testament, the Bible describes how the people wanted to really touch the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember a lot of those stories, how that the crowds would come up. It talks about in Matthew 9:21, it says, a woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she said within herself, if only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well. You know, there was a crowd there. There was all kinds of, there were thousands of people there. As a matter of fact, there were situations where another guy, he was a Jewish leader. And he came to that situation. You want me to speak on this side, John?
No, it's fine. I'm just checking something.
This Jewish leader, he said, my daughter, she's 12 years old, and she's at the point of death. Would you come to our home? Would you lay your hands on her and she will be well? Well, this lady said, I don't want to touch his body because I'm going to defile him. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. But she reached in there, and everybody was pressing, the Bible says, against him. And then all of a sudden, she reached in, and she knew that that issue of blood, it stopped right there. It was over. And man, she shuddered, and Jesus just stopped. He says, somebody touched me. The disciple says, you're saying somebody touched you? Everybody's been touching you. He said, no, somebody's touched me and an issue has gone out. There's virtue that's gone out and it's touched someone. And this lady did that. In Mark 3:10 it says this, for he healed so many that as many as had afflictions pressed upon him to touch him. Unclean spirits, whenever he saw them, they fell down before him and they cried out saying, you are the Son of God. Mark 6:56 says this, whenever he entered into a village, cities, or a country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. And then Luke 6:19 says this, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and from him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. Well, we see that people were... they were tenacious. It was kind of like when they dropped that guy down from the ceiling. You know, they broke it up. Mark's gospel records that. Broke up that ceiling. They were tenacious. They weren't going to stop. They were going to take hold of God and grab hold and touch him because they wanted what he had. How come we don't see things like that happen today? How come we don't look around and we don't see the operation of the kingdom of God taking place like we did maybe the first century? Could it be that we give up too early? Could it be that sometimes we've not broken through in that place of prayer? We start praying, I think I'll watch TV. Now we've got the internet. Now we've got this. And we've got iPads and iPods and pads. Just everything to keep us occupied, to keep us away from things like that. Distracting. Matthew 11:12 says this. And this is what I want to share with you tonight, starting out. Touching God. And John, you might have a different interpretation of this, but I'll tell you, I've studied this thing. And it says, from that time, John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. You know, the other morning, probably a couple months ago, I was having breakfast with John Stewart. You know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
I just happened to have him right next to me having breakfast with him. There was about 50 other pastors there as well, but anyway, I did happen to have him right next to me, and I said, Don, and I showed him that scripture. I said, what's your interpretation? Who are the violent? Who are the ones that take it by force? And he looked at me. He sat there for a second. He goes, I got to have 15 minutes to build you up a scenario on how to develop that particular text. And I said, well, it looks like that's not going to happen. And of course, he goes, well, if I get time... Anyway, he never got to answer that. But I went home and I took a look at Nelson's Study Bible. Looked at John MacArthur. I mean, he's very conservative. Yes. But I'll tell you, the kingdom of God, it suffered violence. And the violence that the enemy, the devil himself, brought into that kingdom was... it was allowed. It was allowed. But you know what? John the Baptist had his head removed. If you want to see something violent, that's violent. And then on the other spectrum, Jesus, the Passion. And I think many of you have seen that movie. Just the violence that was allowed there. But the very same violence that took place there, Jesus says, but the violent take it by force. It takes it by force. And it's kind of like what I was just talking to you a few minutes ago. That there are times you've given up a little bit too early. There are times that, you know what? I don't really know what to do. And there seems to be a wall there between me and the Lord. But the Lord says, man, get violent with me. Take hold of my promises. John, I liked your prayer tonight. Got a little violent when you were doing that prayer. I could tell that, man. You were getting into it. And you know what? That's maybe what that little fasting, that little dynamic, that will be a part of it as well. That, man, you start getting into it. Start discovering what the Lord wants to do. And stop listening to the liar. He loves to lie to you. He just tells you all the time, doesn't he, how bad you are? You know, and you don't have to, you know, I beat up myself enough. I don't need him, but he contributes. He contributes to it. And you know, we're just so beaten down all the time. The Bible says my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. That we don't know what we have. That we are in the... there's no righteousness in us. I don't know if you've figured this out. I'm just still figuring out. There's nothing good in me. I'm a sinner. And you know what? But I stand in the righteousness of Christ. But the violent, they take it by force. You know, I think we do give up too early. But Satan is the great neutralizer. He wants to condemn us. Wants to keep us bummed out. Just kind of like he did me today. But that was the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit got done and I text that guy, got it right. He goes, okay, brother. You know, it's just kind of like the enemy worked on me for a while. That ever happened to you? You get done, you get it right with God, and there's the devil. But you know what? Take hold of the things of the Lord. Look at these people. They pressed in. They got something. Yet you and I can easily give up so early. We need to be careful. We need to recognize that when that wave of unbelief begins to start heading in, and stop looking at the circumstances, stop looking at the waves and the storms, begin to get our eyes on the Lord. Get a little violent. You know, just this morning I was praying for this class and just getting, and I could find myself just getting in it. Just kind of I like what Jack Hayford talks about when he gets in there. He talks about, he said his kids talked about him when they were little kids. They said, Daddy does the stomp thing. Daddy does the stomp thing. He walks around the house. Lord, and he just starts stomping. I take this authority. I begin to move in this thing. You know, that's something that you're not going to really be doing in the public. But it's in your prayer closet. It's that time with you and the Lord. God, I want to take hold of you. I want your promises, God. I want to be able to believe in your word and the things that you have. So we begin to get a little violent. The second thing that I want to talk to you tonight about, and in some of the scriptures, I'm going to get to some texts. I've shared with you some scriptures that's really touching God, and that's our first part. There's five parts to this. The next part, I want to talk to you a little bit about obedience. God wants to touch the world through you as you begin to be obedient to Him. And you're going, oh man, here we go. I don't really need this one. But you know what? I will tell you, the Bible says that His commandments, they're not grievous. They're not grievous. I don't know if you remember when he sent some of the disciples back to Jerusalem. He said, find out for the Gentiles, what do you require of them? And the disciples all sit down and they said, hey, we don't want to lay a heavy on anybody anymore. He said, this is what they need to do. You know, don't drink any blood. Just quit that. You know, don't eat animals that have been strangled or offered to idols. Stay away from sexual immorality and have a good time. And they came back. I mean, take a look at that. Hey, you and I, we know. You know. What you get. God gives you a pretty long rope, doesn't He? And you can do a lot. He gives you about enough to hang yourself with. I mean, you have that much. You have freedom. Paul the Apostle said, he said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. It's not to your benefit to take that rope all the way to the end. You've got some liberties that you're probably unaware, and a lot of us take that. Well, I think I'll watch TV. I think I'll watch some football games. But you end up, I don't know about you, but after you just sit there and flick the channel after a while, half of ours are blocked anymore. We got blockers on everything. We don't have any of the movie channels, but even what we have. But you start flicking that thing after a while, and you go, God, I think I'll go worship God after this. You know, it dries you out. There's just nothing on there anymore. You got hundreds and hundreds of channels. There's nothing on there anymore. But anyway, the next part we want to talk about. You know, if you're like me, you just seem to be disqualified right away when we talk about this. But look what Deuteronomy 13:4 says. You don't have to turn there. Just take a look at what it says. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and fear the Lord. Keep His commandments. And, of course, going to the New Testament, I just read what His commandments are required for the Gentiles. He says, obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. hold fast to him. That's kind of abiding. It's walking with the Lord, but hold fast. Grab hold of him. Say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to hold fast to you. Peter told the leaders later on in Acts, you know, we want to obey God rather than man. Galatians 5:7 says this, you did run well. Who hindered you that you would not obey the truth? You know, God places his word before us. We blow it. But for the most part, you know, it's those times that as we become in tune with the Holy Spirit, he begins to lead and direct our life. Have you noticed that later on, as you've walked with the Lord for a while, that when you begin to start moving in a wrong direction, he begins to show you, you know, I'm losing my peace, I'm losing it big time. But I mean, you have to almost resist the Holy Spirit to get out of his will. You know it. He's inside of you going, please, don't go there. I was listening to Chuck on the way home Sunday morning, and he said, listen, can I give you some advice? And he's on the radio doing the Sunday morning service, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, when Chuck Smith says, can I give you some advice? I think everybody, yes, I'll take that. He said, if the Holy Spirit, if God tells you to do something, just do it. And just listen to him. Don't be afraid to obey him. Because he knows what he's doing. He sees the whole picture, not just part of it. Just obey him. He wants to keep you out of trouble. So we need to obey the Lord. God places his word before us. We need to, and he warns us, so we need to be careful. When you start moving in that wrong direction, you're going to get an uneasy feeling, lack of peace, start to sweat, if you're anything like me. And you sometimes have to resist the Spirit to the point of grieving him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a bummer. Because you feel bad. You know, and you end up quenching the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, get right back on and begin to start moving in a good direction. Acts 15 tells us this. It says, refrain from the things offered to idols, those that are strangled, blood, drinking it, sexual immorality, and the rest of the time. Just get blessed. I want to share with you, and John told me you guys are kind of going into a kind of a deeper walk with the Lord. And I want to show you in the scriptures a man that had that deep walk with the Lord. He said and this is from Luke chapter 2. And let me read this to you. Starting at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And this is pre-Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit was upon this man. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to the mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, and it goes on and it talks about Anna. Here's a guy. Here is Simeon. Now look what it says, man. This guy walked in the Spirit. God worked in his life. He was in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that God wants to bring you and I to that place. It's not a hard thing to do. That as he begins to start, Lord, I give you my day. I ask you to run my life. I seek your face today. As we begin to have kind of not a ritual thing, but just a time that, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit? That as we're obedient to him, he's going to guide and direct our life. I want to talk to you for a minute about obedience in prayer.
Obedience in prayer. You know, so often we like to, somebody comes up and they're going through a very, very difficult time. And so much so that they'll come up and they want prayer. And so often we'll just lay hands on that person. Father, I just pray you deliver them. Would you get them out of this situation? Would you begin to move them? But what if God had them in this difficult situation for a reason? Do you even consider that? Does God want to get us out of there, get us out of the oven right away? What if God has that person in the oven and you're praying for some deliverance? Are we obedient in our prayer? Not really. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to bring comfort, of course. May I say to you, take some time when you pray for somebody. Walk up, shut your eyes before you begin to pray and just start rattling it off. Let the Lord, God, will you give me some wisdom here? Mm-hmm. Will you show me how to pray? Mm-hmm. And just wait a minute. Be obedient to the Lord. Let Him give you that word. I mean, that person, you might not like what you're saying, Lord, I pray. You know what? But I'll tell you, it's the perfect prayer. It's something that God will do. And we can talk about tongues. Some people just speak in tongues. But it's nice to have something revealed to you that as you pray, wait on the Lord. Be obedient to what He wants to say. I was at the hospital. I'm a chaplain at a Paramount Suburban Hospital. And one evening, I was going through and one of the head nurse. And a lot of times you minister to a lot of the staff. They're just burned out. They're fried. And they'll go, Pastor, could you stop by? Would you pray for me? And this lady, she was just beaming. But she runs all of the nurses there. And I said, what's up? She says, you know, I just got a real kink in my neck. And I'm getting ready to go on a missions trip and so forth. And, you know, we talked and I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And I shut my eyes, and I'll tell you, it was like a movie that just started right in my head. And it started right away, and I'll tell you the picture that I saw. And I don't get this every time, trust me. I'm not, you know, I don't get that kind of stuff. But I mean, it was as bright, it was as clear as anything. And I saw a picture of her, because she's going to Haiti. And she's going to minister there. She's going to minister medically to people as well as pray for them. And I saw this in my mind as she was looking at people with infections, with broken arms and stuff like that, that she knew exactly what was wrong with those people. She knew it. And I mean, I knew it in a second. And I opened my eyes up and I said, you have a gift, don't you? She says, yes, I do. I said, where do you go to church? And she told me some place somewhere. And I said, you know what's wrong with people, don't you? She says, yes, I do. I said, you know that's a gift from God. Yes, I do. And the thing with the neck, that wasn't even part of it. You know, that didn't come back up again. You know, it was something that sometimes God will, you know, I just didn't go there again. Maybe I should have, maybe I didn't, I don't know. You know, but God just revealed that to me, that sometimes God allows some things to keep you and I kind of humble. Just us. He just kind of humbles us a little bit. That Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You know, well, we're not the Apostle Paul, but God does do that sometimes. So I would say just being obedient to the Spirit. Learn to listen to Him. Learn to hear what He has to say. Begin to develop that. Don't be so quick to just run up. This is what we're going to do. You know, and we all want to. We want to see people not in pain. That's just a gift of mercy. That's something that God gives us as well. Wait on the Lord. Let Him show you what to do. So, if we are touching God and we obey Him, God can use us and do His will. I don't know about you, but how do we know that God wants to, and how is He? The first part we talked about is touching God. Second part is being obedient to the Lord. This third part is, as we touch God and we grab hold of Him, we can touch this world. And as we're obedient to Him, God will begin to start using you. He'll begin to start using you. I mean, if you're empty and there's not a lot going on, he give Him something. Give Him a little something. Throw Him a bone, man. Give Him something. God wants to use you.
And it starts out with, you know, touching him, praying, getting close to him, obeying him, obeying him. I'm not talking about works, but I am talking about abiding in the Lord. That's just kind of part of it. So we need to be used by the Lord. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. See that then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15 it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And here it is. Do not be drunk with wine in excess. And this had some real strong Greek implications here. And it goes on. And I'm not going to tell you all the things that this really covered. But it was like going to a heavy-duty party there in one of those, pagan cities. But he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So, one of the things that we need to do that God can use us, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And the way to do that, it says you can start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's a good way. Start worshiping the Lord. Start praising. As you came in tonight, you just began to start worshiping the Lord. That's a good way to get filled with the Spirit of God. You know, I used to take care of a bunch of these really hardened Marines at Camp Pendleton. I mean, these were some bad dudes. And they were all in trouble. And what I used to do was, I'd show them movies during the week. And they were good movies. Facing the Giants, you know, Fire Wheel, Flywheel, all the different stuff. We'd have all these movies. But I'd come in and they'd go, hey, Pastor, what are you going to show today? And they'd be up and I'd get the projector ready. And I wouldn't say to them, how are you guys doing? What's going on? And I'd look at the sergeant and I'd go, give me these guys for 2 hours. I'll give you back better Marines at the end of the day. And what we did is I began to put on the I Worship music. Maybe you've never seen it before. But it's pretty anointed. And it goes up on the screen. And they do it still to this day down there. You know, and waterfalls start going. And I can only imagine they sing that song, Days of Elijah. And shout to the Lord. You know, and all these, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And all these songs. And man, these kids get up and they start worshiping. And they start worshiping the Lord. And they just, you know, the tenseness and the anger at each other and all that testosterone, all that stuff just begins to quiet down. And the Spirit of God begins to move in that place. And they begin to get filled, with the Spirit. I mean, it's pretty cool. And then we get them ready. But I take about 15 minutes to do that, to just get them filled up with the Spirit. And just that stress and the stuff that they're going through, it just leaves. And God begins to move. And it's a wonderful time. So we need to get filled with the Spirit. We know Romans 12 says this, and this is another thing to be used by God. It tells us to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him, which is our reasonable service. And of course, it goes on to tell us that as we begin to do that, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on to say that you're going to find out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus said in John 7:37, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit, for it was not yet given to the church. So he says, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. We need to come. He says, if you'll do that, I'll begin to fill you with my Spirit. I'll begin to flow with you to this world. But you got to come to me and drink. John 14:17 says this, the Father is going to send you a helper, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. How many remember before you got saved that you were kind of seeing other people and it kind of interested you in the kingdom of God? You know, you were starting to tell people about Jesus and you weren't even saved yet. Yeah, you need the Lord. And you weren't even saved yet. Did that happen to anybody? Or am I the only one here? You know, yeah, that person needs the Lord. And I didn't know the Lord, but I knew that's the Holy Spirit with you. That's the para. He's come alongside. He's beginning to work in your heart. And He's beginning to move upon you. And you know something's going on here, but you really don't know that you're going to get saved yet. So that's para, the Holy Spirit with you. He's come alongside with you, that He's with you. But He goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and He will come and dwell inside of you. And E-N in the Greek is that He comes inside of you, and He begins to dwell there. And that's really when you ask Jesus to come into your life. He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what it means. That is the Holy Spirit's work, by the way. He comes inside, stamps the seal on you by residing inside of you, gets you ready, you're en route for heaven. You're that package that He's placing on the vessel, and you're on your way to heaven. But we haven't got to the other part yet, and I want to share with you what it's about. He says, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very much different. This is done by Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Luke 3:16, John answered saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, who is the baptizer? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it Jesus? Jesus. He baptizes you with His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So He is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit comes inside, and that's the sealing part. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But this is different. This is now. You're needing that power to be used by God. He says, I've given you power to become witnesses. Let's see where we're at here. This is a promise of the Father. Luke 24:49 says this. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. This is a gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot be good enough. Ever, ever, ever. I want to share with you that any gift that God gives, you're never going to be good enough. Ever. You come the way you are. You just say, Lord, you know, if you've blown it, get it right with it. Just Lord, I confess that I've done this. And I agree with you that I've done this. And He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's something that I think you and I need to do an evaluation probably on a pretty daily basis, Lord. Is there anything that's bugging you about me today? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Just get it right. Just get it right. Well, I did that yesterday, man. I blew it again. Then do it again. Then ask Him for forgiveness again. Don't stop. Don't run from the Lord. Run to the Lord. I love the story of the Gadarene demoniac. That is just such a classic picture of a man that is so useless and so absolute. He lived with the dead people. He lived with the dead. And I mean, here they're coming across. They just face a storm. Jesus gets off the boat. And here this man does not run away from Him. Does not go back into those tombs. But he runs to Him and throws himself down and begins to worship Him. Begins to worship Him. And I'll tell you, you want to talk about violence? I think that that is the classic display of the enemy when he just the whimpering of, please don't send us out of the country. Please don't, please don't, please don't. And I think that that is a demonstration that Jesus says, okay, go ahead and go into the swine. And you saw what the devil wants to do. To kill and to steal and to destroy. He'll talk you into anything. He'll whimper to you. It's like your flesh, just a little bit. Just let us go over here. But you know what? Look at the violence. You want to see some. All of them went, 2,000 of them went into the Sea of Galilee. They were drowned. And so, whole different study. Let's keep going here. Duffield and Van Cleve says this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead comes upon the believer to anoint and energize him for special service. This experience is designated in the New Testament as the Spirit falling upon and coming upon, being poured out upon the yielded believer in sudden and supernatural manner. It says, Acts 1:18, it says, but you shall receive power. And that's dunamis or dynamite, where we get that word. when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, we know that Peter, right after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, anybody know what happened to him? He got up and preached. Anybody remember how many got saved? About 3,000. How would you like that? I mean, your ministry, you've denied the Lord. You hear a rooster every time you come into the city or any place and you hear a rooster crow. You know, you just about, you know, get sick to your stomach. Well, look what I did. And then all of a sudden, this happens to you. And 3,000 people give their life to Jesus Christ because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about Peter, is it? It's about the Lord. Well, God wants to use us, but He needs to empower us. He needs to empower us. And that's coming to the Lord. Come to me, and I'll give you this living water. We need to, and this is my fourth point here. We need to come to the Lord often. Often. Come to Him and drink. We need to come to the Lord and allow Him to give us that living water. Let Him come to me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers, plural, of living water. Jesus told His disciples in John 15, "Abide in me, for without me you can do nothing." Any spiritual lasting thing for God or fruit-bearing results must be done by the power of God, not something you develop. Well, I think I'll be nice to people. You know, when you are nice to people, let the Lord do that really through you. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, he said, to pray without ceasing. That's part of it. When you come to God, let it be a part of your prayer life as well. I need to come and I need to pray. I need that to be a part of my life. Begin to start praying and asking the Lord to bring people to your mind. It's just, and when you're in a public prayer, do you guys pray in here? Do you guys do it in here? You know, a lot of times we've told our men this. Saturday morning we have our men's prayer meeting. We got some of those guys that kind of drag themselves in. Oh Lord God, forgive me. God forgive me. Lord, I just ask for your... And we've made it kind of a deal with them because we want to start having some strategic prayer. We call that closet prayer. That's something you do in your prayer closet. We've told them, get it right before you come. Spend time with the Lord before you come to that meeting because we want to start praying for some things that we believe that God wants to do for the neighborhood. And so we've kind of put that in. So come to the Lord. Get those things right with Him. Get in the Word of God. I'll tell you, if you're not in the Word on a daily basis, start doing it. Get one of those through the Bible in a year. Read the Bible every year. Am I saying that to get you under the law? I'm not. But I'll tell you, it'll make you very familiar with the Word of God. So we need to come and we need to pray. He also says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be thankful on a regular basis for the great things that God has done and the things that He's doing within your life and my life. My brother and I were walking on a beach yesterday in Huntington, and we were walking our dogs down there. We start talking about Fox News and all the politics and stuff. Man, I'll tell you, I'd start losing my peace just right there. We got to stop, man. We're just, you know, we're letting those guys, you know, walk over to the TV and sometimes just turn it off. You know, have you ever notice how they get you mad? I'm mad at the president. I'm mad at this, you know. Pray for that poor man. Folks, listen to me. We need a revival. It's not going to be a change at the helm. We need a spiritual awakening in our land. And it comes by, He says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, He says, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'll heal your land. I'll bring gas prices down to $2.50 a gallon. You know what? It's all this stuff. We're going to get that guy out of there. Let's get this guy in there. And come on. It's going to be the same. It is. We need a moral awakening. And just, we need our kids and everything. I feel so sorry for this generation, the stuff that they can come across. We need to be careful. But we need a spiritual awakening, friends. And it's done by you and me, taking hold of God, coming to God often, and spending time in His presence, reading the Word of God, being thankful instead of complaining. You want to get grieved? Just complain a while, you know. And how about fasting? We talked about that. There's power in it. I don't think I need to touch on that. As we come to him as a father, he's our shepherd. The Bible tells us that he's the good shepherd. He's going to fix us. I like the part where he says, he anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, there's no lack. It's kind of like a picture of, here's the shepherd. I'm going to put the cup underneath. I'm going to start pouring this stuff off to such a point that there's room for others. It begins to overflow. God, you know, if it's not overflowing in our life, you know, it's not overflowing to other people. God wants us to overflow. And that's with thankfulness. That's coming to him often. Coming to him. Spending time in his presence. Worshiping him. And singing to him. And being a blessing to him. Well, I've got one more point that I want to talk to you tonight. And then we're going to have a time of maybe entering into the presence of the Lord. You know what? And this is this part of it. It's not about him in that sense. And it's not about us. Let me rephrase that. It is about him, and it's not about us. And so many preachers will come up and tell you how wealthy you need to be and how that God wants to prosper you and all those other things. You know, what if you got a whole bunch of money and it drew you away from the Lord? That wouldn't do it. That wouldn't be good. Not everybody can handle that. You know, it isn't about us. It's about him. It really is. And I want to use this last part to talk about humility. God wants you to be humble. Because I believe that there are people in this room that God wants to raise you up to do whatever it is that he wants to do. But you need to walk in humility. Let me read you a couple of verses where it talks about this. It says, humility. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Everybody like grace? Grace is a free gift. It's just abounding grace. Man, it's just God's favor on you. God's favor on you. I like God's favor on me. But when I walk around in pride and arrogance and think that I'm better than other people, then God resists me. I don't want my Father to resist. I want the grace, man. I want the free gift. Stay humble. Figure out ways to be humble. Anybody ever read that book? It's by Andrew Murray. It's called Humility. One of the best books I've ever read. It's just awesome. That he even gets to the point, somebody starts calling you names and getting on you and stuff like that. He said, just receive it. Just receive it. Remember David did from, what's his name? And he was yelling and calling him names. He just said, man, who was it, John?
Shimei,
that's right. You know what? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. He will lift you up. For God wants to bless you and he wants to lift you up. But we need to walk in humility. God wants to bless us so much that he will even humble us so he can bless us. And if you're walking in such a way, you know, I was at another story. I was at a pastor's thing. And they had this once a month. And I was over there and Frank, I've told you this story before, but you guys know Pastor Poncho? You know Pastor Poncho. Well, he walked up and he goes, hey, brother, how you doing, man? How are you doing, man? You know, and we're talking. He goes, hey. He goes, and we start talking about the Marines. He's really into the Marine stuff. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, he's just getting into it. We're talking. And he goes, brother, let me have your email. He goes, I communicate with people with the email. He gets real intense. I communicate. I don't like to talk on the phone. Give me your email. And I just said, okay. I gave my email, and he goes, I got it, brother. Thank you, man. God bless you. And anyway, I didn't think nothing of it. The next day, I'm on my computer, and says, you know, email from him. And I go, okay. I click it on, and there's a scripture. There's no nothing, just a scripture. And it says Galatians 6:3. Now I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like one of those neat promises. I don't think I even like the sound of that one. And the scripture went like this. It says, does anybody have it there? Napoleon, do you have that? Would you read it loud?
If anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Oh, man.
I started to sweat. I started to laugh, and then I started to cry. And I mean, I just thought, oh my gosh, what in the world did I do? Dude, man, I'm thinking of my conversation. What did I say to that man that would cause him to be so bold to say that to me? And man, I'm sitting there, and I'm just, man, I'm shaking my head. I'm just going, gosh, well, I receive it, man. Praise God. And I wrote him back. I said, thank you, brother. I said, thank you for revealing that to me. And I received that, and I repent. I repent. God bless you. You know, have a great day. And, you know, I'm just kind of walking. I'm scratching my head. I received them both. Bless you. And anyway, I went over to the church, and I brought it up to one of the other pastors. He goes, oh, man. He goes, dude, what got into that guy? You know, he's really bold. I start thinking, man, that guy's deep. Beat in shape. You know, what kind of a guy is he? You know? I'm just thinking, man. Anyway, I was really bummed by that time. I mean, just, anyway, I get home and check my email. I check them twice a day. So if you, I have one in the morning and one in the evening, and I get it, and another one comes from, I go, oh, no. What's that?
He traumatized you the first time.
Oh, man, he got another one. He goes, oh, dear brother. He wrote me, he goes, oh, dear brother. He goes, that wasn't for you. He goes, that was for me. He goes, that's my scripture. He says, it just reminds me that I'm nothing. But you know what? I received it anyway. I received it anyway. And you know, God has a way of working in us, and I won't tell you everything from that time that's happened to me, that the Lord wanted to use me for some things. And but you know what? It comes back to the place of just walking in humility. Now, would you write down these five words, and then you go, well, how am I going to remember all that stuff? You don't have any handouts or anything like that. This is kind of my MO for sermons. First word is, I need to touch God. Would you write, touch God? I need to touch God. I need to touch God if I'm going to touch this world. The second one, would you write, I need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I need to be obedient. The third one, if I'm touching God and I'm obedient to the Lord, God will use me. Would you write, use me. The next one, we need to come to the Lord often. We need to come into His presence with praise and thanksgiving. We need to be a thankful people. We need to come to Him often. And then finally, the last one is, we need to walk in humility. It's not about us, it's about Him. We need to walk in humility. Would you take a pencil, would you look at those and just read that word? What does it say?
Touch.
Touch. Good way to have that. We need to touch God. We need to be close to Him. And when we do that, God will use us. He'll use us. So let's pray. And that too short, too long. What do you do, John?
I'll take 15 minutes and we'll just introduce the concept of I'll bounce some stuff, you bounce some stuff. We'll talk about receiving the Holy Spirit in power into our life. Is that okay with you?
Sure, you betcha.
Okay, so you launch out and pray, and then I'll do that, and then we'll bounce back and forth, and then we'll come up into the break after that.
Thank you. Any questions before we go? To go into this. You know what? What I'd really like to do, I think that there's some of you who are... I want to reach out to God. I want everything He has for me. And I want you to have an expectation. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look at Him. God, I want what You have for me. I want everything You have. I want to be empowered by Your Spirit. You told me in Your Word, Lord, that I could come to You and You would give me the rivers of living water. And I believe that's what You're talking about.
Father, would you come and would you anoint tonight? Would you just sweep upon this room by your Spirit? Would you just sweep here, Lord? Would you just do what you can do very well? Would you just move by the power of your Spirit? God, would you just begin to bring in a freshness and a powerful anointing? Would you just come like a wave? And would you begin to wash and cleanse hearts? Would you begin to minister and allow people to see the things in their life that you want to take out of their life? God, would you just breathe deep upon these people? Would you just bless your children, God? Strengthen them and encourage them. God, would you just come and move in such a mighty way that God, that they would sense your presence. Woo them close to you, Lord. Draw them close to you, Lord. Would you pour your anointing oil upon them tonight, Lord Jesus? Would you pour them out? Pour out upon them and just do something powerful upon them. God, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray that you would allow people that never dreamed it possible before, but when they would speak, that they would speak as of the oracles of God. That, Lord, that there is something that as they say, they will know. They will know it in their heart that it's you speaking through them. And God, I pray for that person right now that's just going to receive that gift. And God, would you bless that? Father, I pray that someone just feels that attack from behind. It just seems like that past is following them. It just seems to haunt them. It just seems to hang on like something on their back. I've got that past for me. It keeps bothering me. Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus to that assault from the past. Lord, would you loose that tonight? And God, would you just set that person free? That, Lord, that they would walk in the freedom that they've never dreamed of before. And that past would be gone. A diminishing of that. Would you take care of their rear side, their backside, Lord? Would you just take care of them? And God will let them begin to move on that path that you have for them. Father, we praise you and we thank you. God, I pray that person just looking for just some direction right now. Lord, what would you want me to do? What is it that you have for me? And maybe you have a preconceived idea of what you are already doing. I've done this path. I've walked this way before. And maybe you've not come to the Lord and said, God, I think I got this down so well, but maybe you have something different in mind for me. And maybe I'm not in tune with you. Maybe I've developed my own plan. I'll tell you, God has something far better than what you've already preconceived in your own mind. Would you give that to the Lord? You know who it is. I'm talking to you. And God has something for you. And it's way better. Well, this is cool what I'm doing. You know what? He's got something cooler. Would you give that to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I want to be obedient to your Spirit because I know that when I do what you tell me to do, it's going to be way more effective than anything I could think of. Father, we bless you. We praise you. That God, I pray that your people would begin to know and understand who they are. That they would know that they have the keys to the kingdom, that it's theirs. That God, I pray that you would allow people in here to set people free. That God, that you would allow them to come and set people free. Lord, I praise you. And you know, I'll tell you, I'm seeing a picture of somebody that's walked past somebody for a long time. And you're thinking, and I'm, see if I'm getting this. You're walking past them, and you go, I never thought I could do anything for them. It's time you do something for them. You're going to set them free. That you've come, those people that have been in a great darkness, how you've brought them into the light. Would you do that through that person, Lord, whoever it is? God, would you use that individual to set people free? Mm-hmm. Would you use that in their daily life, God, that as they begin to minister and they begin to touch, that they could come and bring that person out of darkness and bring them into your glorious light? And they might not even know how to do it, but you show them how. Would you do that, Lord? Father, I praise you and I thank you. God, I just praise you. And
Some people think that they're looking at something and it's way too big for them. That's way too big. And the Lord says, come to me as a king. Ask as me as a king. And watch what I do. Father, I pray. I pray for that person that's looking at that, who's going, I could never do that. I could never do that. I know you can't do that, but he can. And he can do that through you. Would you just yield yourself to the Lord if you feel that the Lord is talking to you about that tonight? Would you yield that to the Lord? God, I give you that. I let you take that, Lord. And I don't know what to do, but God does. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Would you begin to start baptizing people with your Spirit tonight? Would you begin to touch them and just do a work? And people that just need to a fresh anointing of your Spirit, would you pour your oil out tonight? God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord.
Put your hands out as if you really want to receive God. Just put them out. God wants to turn you from someone that's being blessed to someone that is a blessing. He wants you to stop figuring God out and to know God. He wants you to move from calculation to revelation. He wants you to stop trying to assemble your Christian life with your brain and your works and start moving in the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can attain. It's not something you can get by working harder or studying more theology or knowing more Greek words. It's something you just have to move in by faith that God's taking you out of calculation to revelation. He's taking you into the flow of the Holy Spirit. He's taking you into the flow of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to baptize you. He's going to send those rivers of living water into you. He's going to take you up to the next level, far beyond law, far beyond guilt, far beyond striving, far beyond those things, into the place where you just know God as you're known. And God will know you, and he will love you, and you'll feel the love of God coming into your heart. You'll feel the love of God coming into your heart, and you'll be conscious of the throne of God. You'll be conscious of the throne of God. And the fire of the Holy Spirit's going to touch you now. The fire of the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's going to take you to a new level. New level of grace in your life. And I want you to just see, as if imagine, tongues of fire coming on your head now. The tongues of fire coming out of the throne of God. And they're touching you on the top of your head now. And you're receiving God. Receive the Holy Spirit. But receive the Holy Spirit right down into the depths of your being. Right down into the depths of your being. Receive the power of God. Now, I know some people here are going to become prophets or prophetesses of the Lord. And some of you are going to be pastors. And some of you are going to have gifts of mercy. But you can't do that on your own. No amount of knowledge is going to get you there. It's going to be imparted. And it's an impartation. And you've got to receive it tonight. Receive it. Believe it's going to happen. And God's going to activate you. You're going to be the same person, but at a higher level. He's going to lift you up. And he's going to put you at the throne room level. And you're going to be activated. And you're going to be pastors and evangelists. And you're going to be prophets and prophetesses. And you're going to do the work of God. Some of you are standing in the way with your minds and you're trying to figure it out. Well, don't figure it out. Well, just receive the impartation. Receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Let it happen to you. Let it be done to you by God. You can't do it. The fisherman became an apostle and it was done by the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't figure it out. Don't figure it out. Let it happen. Let it happen in your heart. Let it happen in your mind. Let God flow into you and just lift you up into a new way of being. Get rid of all that religious stuff and find the new way of being. The Holy Spirit comes and it touches you and it makes you that new person. A new person, not a more effective or more efficient person, but a new spiritual being, someone who is flowing in God. See yourself flowing in God. Let God relax into you. Be still and know that he is God. Let it be still and know that he is God. Just now, if some of you, if you're feeling this strongly, do something. Get on your knees, stand up, do something. Start activating it.
Stop praying aloud. Start doing something to activate what's happening in your heart. Let God show you a vision of what's happening in your heart. Let God show you what's happening. Steve, Pastor Steve.
Yeah.
Let's move around this room, and if people want us to lay hands on them or something, just let them put up their hands, and we'll just let God move. I want to exhort you to let God move. Keep receiving. Keep receiving. Keep crying.